all have wants. No matter how old you are, no matter where you live, you want something, and money is how you get that something. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter really even what that thing is, but it requires money to get it. And sometimes our wants get out of control. We just want more and more and more, and we want that next thing, and we want more. And we think the more that we get, the better we'll feel, the more successful we'll feel, the better we'll feel about ourselves, the more we'll fit in at school. And the problem with that is that it always, always, always leaves you feeling less satisfied. I can tell you that when I got this fan, I was ecstatic. Like, I was like a kid with Santa. Like, I was very happy. But how long does that last? Not that long. Not that long. Because there's something in us that just wants and wants and wants, but only until something better comes along, and then we want that thing too. And yet, what always throws me off is that there are things in my life that I think that I need, and 5 minutes before, I didn't even know it existed. A little three-hour stroll on Pinterest, anybody? Ladies in the room? Yeah, a little stroll. It shows you everything you never knew that you needed, right? It shows, you're laughing because you know, because I've done it too. It shows you everything that you never knew you wanted, and all of a sudden you're like, I need that. I didn't even know it existed 5 minutes ago, but I need that. And for me, I see an iPhone commercial, and I'm so convinced that I need it that I'm willing to sign like a 30-year contract with AT&T to get it. And we all know AT&T doesn't even work in Savannah, so it's ridiculous, right? But it's because I see it, and I want it, and I think I need it. Now, we all know that there's a difference between a need and a want, right? So if your parents are anything like my parents, when you were a kid, they just drilled it into your head. You'd be like, I need that. And they're like, no, you don't need that. You want that. And they really try to teach you the difference between a need and a want. And I can remember when I was a little kid, I used to go into the stores with my dad, and we'd be walking, and I would try to convince him how much I needed something. It could be anything, but I would try to convince him, I need this, I need this. And his response to me always, Allison, get a job. Every time. And I'm like, Dad, I'm five. Really? Allison, get a job. Allison, get a job. And for some reason, that has always stuck with me. And he still says it. And I'm like, Dad, I'm almost 28. I have a job. And he's like, get a better job. Always. Get a job. I need this. Get a job. I want this. Get a job. I'm like, oh, stop saying that. It drives me crazy. But it's true, right? Everything that we want requires money. We're obsessed with stuff. And part of the issue, I think, is that everywhere we look, there are people with more and more and more and more stuff. They're not just satisfied with one thing. They have to have, like, several things. Like, if one more show comes on about the Kardashians, I don't know what I'm going to do. There's a show about their parents. There's a show about their Sweet 16. There's a show about taking over multiple cities. There's shows about fake weddings. Too soon for jokes about fake weddings, okay? There's all of these shows, and so it teaches us that you can't just stop at one thing. You have to have multiple. It's not enough to just be successful in this area. I have to have 18 shows about my life before I feel like, oh, okay, now I've arrived. We want more, we want more, we want more. We want more. And it's not the stuff that's the problem. None of this stuff up here is wrong. None of this stuff up here is bad. In fact, a lot of this stuff up here helps me do my job better. It's not the stuff that's the problem. It's my attitude towards the stuff. It's my need for the stuff. It's how it makes me feel when I have this stuff. That's the problem. It's not this stuff that's the problem. And so whatever that thing is for you, it's not the stuff that's the problem. It's our attitudes towards the stuff that is the problem. We think that when we get all this stuff, it'll help us become something that we feel like we should be. It'll help us feel better about ourselves. And as a result, these things become our priority. Getting these things become our priority. Yet it's never enough. Some new phone will come out and I'll want it. Some new computer will come out and I'll want it. Some new fan will come out and I'll want it. Because it's never enough. If you've got your Bibles with you, open up to Matthew chapter 6. How many of you have your Bibles with you? Man, our man, keeping it real down there in the front row. I like it. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 19. Here's what it says. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. Man, Jesus knew way before we are walking around right now, he knew how much our hearts were going to be pulled towards stuff. He knew how much the stuff would entice us and pull us in and make us want it. Before they had iPhones, before they had technology, before they had cool shoes and cool clothes and all of the things that we think we need now, before all of those things, Jesus knew that this was going to suck us in. He knew it was going to suck us in. But he's saying that how you feel about your stuff is a reflection of your relationship with him. Your attitude towards stuff is a reflection of how you feel towards him. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what does this mean? Does it mean that I love Apple products more than Jesus? Does it mean that I love gadgets and technology and having really cool things? Does it mean that I love that stuff more than Jesus? Well, no. I'm not worshiping this stuff. I'm not bowing down before this stuff. But you know what it does? It inches Jesus a little bit out of the picture every time. Because when I get this stuff, it makes me feel better. And so what that does is it makes me depend on this stuff instead of on my Savior. When I'm upset about something, well, I'll just go shopping. When I don't like what I see in the mirror, well, then I'll just go buy something new that'll make me feel better. When I don't like how kids are treating me at school, well, then I'll just buy a bunch of more video games and that'll make me feel better. When I don't like what's going on inside, well, then I'll just run out and I'll just go buy something and that will make me feel better. That will make me feel better. Man, it keeps me from relying on Jesus because I'm relying on this stuff to make me feel better. I used to live out in California, and there was a Tiffany's store like 10 minutes from my work. Tiffany's, anybody? Little blue box, real cute, white ribbon. Ladies love them, okay, Tiffany's. I had my best friend Bethany, who lived out in California with me, we had this thing, and anytime I was having a really, really bad day, I would call her up, and I'd be like, "Oh!" And she'd be like, "Tiffany's?" And I'd be like, "Uh-huh." And then we would go. Literally, that's what would happen. I would call her up. I would tell her I had a bad day. Her response would be, "Tiffany's? Yeah, let's go." And we would go, and literally we would buy things. You can't tell me that this stuff doesn't make me rely more on this than on my Savior. Because I did it too. I did it too. So when you're bummed out, go shopping. When you're upset about something, fill that void with something else. When you're down, just make yourself feel better with stuff instead of with a Savior. And so it pushes us to do crazy things because we just want more and more and more. Where you put your money, where you spend your money, it shows where your heart is. Every time I run out and buy something to make myself feel better instead of turning to my Savior, it pushes Jesus more and more out of the picture, and it puts my focus more and more on this stuff. In that same verse, it keeps going, and Jesus says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light, but if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" He's saying, be careful what you see, because you're going to see something and you're going to want it. You're going to see these things and you're going to want it. I know this is true because I can't tell you how many times I've gone into Target for one thing and left with like 80 things. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into Walmart for something that isn't that I needed and left with things that I had, it was on sale, so I bought it. If you see it, you're going to want it. And so Jesus is saying, be careful. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Our desire for this stuff, it starts with our eyes. Our desire to have more and more and more, it starts with your eyes. So is it bad to want stuff? Is it bad to want cool things? Is it bad to spend a bunch of time on Pinterest wanting things? Is it bad to want stuff? I'm sure that every single person in this room could name something right now that they want. So if it's a part of who we are, if it comes so naturally for us, if it's so easy for us to kind of lean towards filling that void in our lives with stuff, what does that mean? What does that mean for us? How do we as Christians, how do we behave differently? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. The issue isn't the wanting. The issue isn't the stuff. It's what you want and why you want it. Everything is permissible. It's possible for me to buy all of this stuff, but is it constructive for my life? Is it constructive for my life? Everything is permissible, not everything is constructible. The word? You guys paying attention? Just making sure. Hey, let's be honest. It is tough. It's tough to be who God has called us to be in our world. It's tough to be who God called us to be in our world. Because everything around us points the other way. Everything around us points so far from who God has called us to be. Everything we see on TV, everything we see in public, everything we see our friends in school doing. It is tough to be who God has called us to be in our world. I have three little nephews. Throw a picture of them up because they're about the cutest kids you'll ever see. But they moved to Japan over the summer. And what's crazy about now that they're in Japan is that last year for Christmas, those boys could rattle off a list of everything they wanted for Christmas. I want this, and I want that, and I want this, and I want that. I want to rattle off a list of everything they wanted for Christmas. And then this summer they moved to Japan, and they don't have TV anymore. Like, they can't watch TV because they're in Japan, and it's in Japanese. And this year we called them, and we're like, hey, like, Connor, he's the oldest, he's 9. We were like, what do you want for Christmas? I just want you to come visit. Jake, the 6-year-old. Jake, what do you, we call him Jakey. Jakey, what do you want? What do you want for Christmas? We just want you to come visit. Their whole attitude shifted because what was in front of their eyes was different. Those boys are like night and day about what they wanted. They went from wanting stuff at Christmas to wanting their family there at Christmas. And it was crazy for me, like, to watch that change in them because it's drastic. What's in front of your eyes is what leads you to wanting more and more and more and more. And what we're doing with this series is we're challenging you to think of others. We're challenging you to think of more than just what's going on in your life. We're challenging you to think outside the box. We're challenging you to think unselfishly. We are challenging you to think outside of what maybe even feels comfortable for you. And in just a second, you're going to watch a video, but I want to explain it to you real quick. One of my friends that I used to work with at my old church, his daughter has cancer. She has a tumor in her brain that's inoperable, and during the time, what she should have done is made it all about her. What would have been the normal, natural thing is for her family to sit and focus on, okay, well, this is what's happening with us. This is what's going on in our lives. We can't think about other people. We don't have time to think about other people because this is happening with us right here, right now, and what's happening with us is more important. And I want you to watch this kid's attitude. And there's a line in there that she says that I hope you pick up on because it's huge. This kid's 12 years old, and what she says, it changes the game. So check out this video real quick.
To be called an inspiration at the age of 12 is unusual, but it's happening to one little girl from Orange County.
CBS2's Lisa Siegel introduces us to Jessie Reese. She's fighting a devastating illness and not giving in, but giving back.
Yeah, I'm not a pastor right now. I'm just dad.
A loving couple, 3 beautiful kids, and a faith as strong as any family can have. That is the Reese family. Eric, a pastor at Rick Warren's Saddleback Church, could not feel more blessed. He has also never been more clear on his role in life.
this is different than going and sitting with a family as a pastor, because I'm just dad. My daughter doesn't need a pastor. She needs her daddy.
Eric's youngest daughter, 12-year-old Jessie, has cancer. The first symptom was double vision. That's why she protects her left eye. From there, she was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor.
This is my radiation mask.
It's been 2 months since the diagnosis. She's endured 30 rounds of radiation, too many visits to the hospital to count, and chemotherapy. It's not easy on a 12-year-old.
There were points where you would cry. There were points where you would just have those days. And there were points where you were good.
It just breaks. You know, because it's your baby.
Daddies are supposed to make boo-boos go away. You know, when she used to fall or something and skid a knee, I could help. Stacy could help. This one, it's out of our control.
Still, Jessie is surrounded by love. Her home is filled with cards and posters from her friends and church members. Her Facebook page filled with thousands praying for her.
You are a remarkable young lady. Love you and praying for you.
These words, these prayers lift her spirits up. But more than that is what she's doing for others.
Even though you're going through something that's pretty tough yourself, you're doing for others. Why are you doing that? Why not just make it all about you?
Because that's not what it's about. Sorry. Okay.
Jessie is going through a very difficult time right now, but that's not what defines her. In fact, she's all about bringing joy to others. She's even inspired a foundation called NIGU.
NIGU is never ever give up.
And is that how you feel?
Yeah, just stay strong and just, you can get through it.
Jessie says with her foundation and these special joy jars, she wants to help other kids, especially the ones who can't go home from the hospital during treatment, like she was able to do.
I just wanted to make them happier. I know that they're going through a lot too.
She fills the jars with things kids will enjoy, then brings them to Children's Hospital Orange County where she's being treated.
For Play-Doh.
And she sells the jars online. Each one sold pays for one she gives away. They're for anyone who needs a little joy in their life, maybe to give as a birthday present or even a baby gift.
When people get hit with this kind of news, they kind of have one of two choices, be bitter or be better. And Jessie has clearly chosen to be better.
She's just inspiring others to just to keep going.
And so we are fighting with Jessie.
And she's doing amazing.
Yeah, she is. We're so proud of her. I'm proud to be her dad.
There was a line in there where the lady interviewing said, why don't you make it all about you? And she said, because that's not what it's about. Jessie, she lived for 10 months from diagnosis, and then she died about 2 weeks ago. And what she did during that 10 months makes this what makes me feel sick. That kid took 10 months while she was dealing with cancer, and I'm telling you, I watched her funeral online, and hundreds, no exaggeration, hundreds of people gave their life to Christ at her funeral. Hundreds. And yet we're consumed with more and more and more. And a 12-year-old kid who had every right to make it about herself made it about others. Why don't you make it all about you? Because that's not what it's about. And where you spend your time and where you spend your money, it reflects how you see God. And you can see that in Jessie. The way that she spent her 10 months of having cancer, you can see how she feels about God. There's no missing it because it wasn't about her. It was about other people. And I'm afraid that if you looked at my life, I don't think you would see what you see in the life of Jessie. I don't think you would. What about your life? If the way you spend your time and the way you spend your money reflects how you feel about God, what is your life saying? What is your life saying? I know what mine's saying. And I want to fix it. And we want to help you fix it. So this next couple of weeks in your small groups, what we've done is we've asked you to raise money as a small group. If you're not a part of a small group, man, you are missing out on an amazing experience together. We want you to raise money as a small group, and then we just want you to go do something with it. We haven't given you a lot of rules. We haven't given you a lot of structure. We've said raise money, give it away. Give it away. Until that becomes part of who we are, we're going to do it on purpose. And we're going to take money, and we're going to raise it, and we're going to give it away. And so in the next few weeks, you'll be hearing about that in your small groups. And if you're not in one, like I said, you're missing out on an amazing experience together. The stories of what you guys are already doing have already been coming to us, and they're amazing. They're amazing. Yeah, but if we really understand that how we spend our time and how we spend our money reflects how we feel about God, then it's an eye-opening thing. If you're filling the void in your life with stuff, it won't work. If you're filling the pain in your life with stuff, it won't work. If you are dealing with the stuff going on in your life by just substituting it with something else, man, it won't work. The only thing that will fix the pain that you feel inside, the only thing that will fix that feeling of feeling empty is the love of Jesus. This stuff will never do it. The only thing is Jesus. And so right now, I just want to pray for you. I want to pray that this would become real for you. And so just bow your heads and let's just pray. And I want you to think about your own life. I want you to think about the way that you spend your time. I want you to think about the way that you spend your money. God, I confess that I want stuff. And God, that sometimes that stuff becomes more of a priority in my life than you are. And God, that's wrong. Jesus, what you did on the cross, Father, that deserves everything. What you did on the cross for me, God, you deserve everything from me. And when I think about the fact that I replace you with stuff, when you are the only one that can heal my life, God, it makes no sense. And so I pray for the students in this room right now. I pray for those that are in here right now that are filling a void in their life. Maybe they're filling it with drugs or alcohol or sex or relationships. God, if they're filling that void that they feel, that emptiness that they feel, if they're filling it with anything other than you, God, it will never work. And God, right now I pray that they would come to understand that. God, they would put their faith in you, that you are the only one who can fix our broken lives. God, tonight I pray that that would be real for them. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for what you did on the cross, so that you died so that we could have a relationship with you. God, so that we don't have to fill that void in our life with stuff. We can fill it with you. Jesus, thank you for who you are, for how much you love us.